When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello and welcome to episode 67 of the First Exchange podcast with me, your host, Lydia Didal. Well, we did say, well, I said to you guys, the listeners, that the last time John Connors was in and the last time we had Teddy Darling in here, that we were going to get them back on for a podcast. And tonight was the night. They both came in and, well, what can I say but probably one of the, hands down, the funniest podcasts that I've done in 67 episodes. We laughed our way through the last hour and we spoke about all grounds. We covered everything from stories about growing up to fighting, boxing, UFC, Conor McGregor, Canelo Alvarez, it's all in there. So I'm not even going to say anymore. I'm going to let you go enjoy episode 67 of the First Exchange podcast with extremely most important, very, very special guests, John Connors and Teddy Darling. Episode 67, I'm joined by my two favourite people. We've got a feckin', I was going to say a very special three-time guest. What do I say there?
A three-time Irish boxing champion. Yeah.
Three times?
Yeah.
No way.
I'm a DJ.
That's the only reason you're here. Well
past
done.
Past life.
What years did you win your titles?
2004, 2005, and 2006, I think. But I got five finals in a row, four nation gold as well.
Wow. Mm. Oh, amazing. Am I off here?
No, you're on.
Am I on? Sorry, it's really low.
Yeah, I'm on. My ears too. I've actually really big earlobes. Have you ever seen all of that?
Just look.
Show us there.
They're huge.
Show us there.
They are big, John, yeah.
Yeah, like rashers.
I'm back now.
Yeah. Getting the face slapped off you in boxing.
Actually, it was over getting the ears pulled off me by my uncles years ago. He used to lift you up.
Ear pullers, ready?
Ear pulling bastards, yeah.
I tell you now.
That's what they did. That was a crack.
Teddy, give us a shot of your earlobes there. Yeah, that's a normal sized earlobe. Yeah, what is going on with you?
Yeah, my uncles
used to lift me up and throw me into the sea.
For a swim?
Yeah, my uncle's.
Because would you not want to be going in?
That's how I learned to swim, was that they just lifted me up by the ears and threw me into 6 foot. In the swim pool, and it was like basically fucking die or live.
Yeah, proper order. They used to
paint them red and say, "Oh, look at the boy." Yeah, it's a dad joke.
Jesus Christ!
And don't make me show you the fucking dad body as well. I'm in bits over here.
Don't let me show you the granddaddy body.
Old meatloaf over there. Yo, you remember the time? Remember the time that I was over in Canada representing Cardboard Gangsters over there, and we did like a Q&A on the screen.
I do, yeah.
Yeah, so basically I'm over doing some speeches for Cardboard Gangsters in, I think it was Senegal Film Festival and Ottawa Film Festival over there, and they were showing Cardboard Gangsters and stuff, but John couldn't make it, so I went over to represent anyways, and long story short, Q&A at the end, John came up, right, I was in an auditorium with like 400, 500 people, and like the screen was the size of a football pitch, and I was like
Zordon,
and John came on and he was like Zordon, and he's like, "Greetings, Rangers." And his cheek is on one side of the screen, his cheek is on the other side of the screen. I see the biggest head I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And he just got on. He was I was saying, "Are you ever gonna play Meatloaf in his autobiography?" You know. But this is what we were saying. But like, no,
the audience are laughing, but it's a super woke Canadian audience,
right?
And we're saying cunt every minute, and people are leaving, like literally tens and ten at a time leaving. And then I come back. I said, "You look like Stone Cold Steve Austin on heroin," and then they're laughing and laughing. And then he said, "Now listen, I'm gonna say this was a joke, but I did do it." So for all the woke people out there, and it sounds kind of misogynistic, but it isn't, because the woman was in bed with me. So the head of the festival said, "John, what are you doing next?" And I was with a girl at the time in a hotel room, and I just turned around on my phone and went and showed her. And the audience erupted, but a lot of them left it. But 20 or 30 of them left. But yeah, she was in the bed with me. It was consensual. It was all good. I thought it was funny. But he did say
it went down as one of the best Q&A's to ever happen.
Well, he
in
said
the
it was the best Q&A he'd ever done under history. I just did a Q&A with him the other day on Zoom, and he said it was the most memorable. So,
yeah.
So there you go. You
know, who was the
your man? What was his name? The fucking grey haired fellow.
Yeah,
you went around with what's his name?
Yeah, Noam Patrick. I never remember his name. yeah.
Noam, a very good one.
A very good one, right? And headmaster taught me this in school and stuff, and I never forget it. Like, you know, in sixth year, he told me this. He was saying, if you ever forget a fella's name, he says, always ask him, what's the name again? So let's go through it. All right, pal, what's that? Yeah, what's the story? Oh, let's go through this. All right, pal, how's things?
All right, pal.
All right, what's up? What's the name again?
Who? What's the name again? What?
What's the name again?
Who?
You. What's the name again?
Who?
You.
Zordon.
Knock, knock. And then it just becomes this big cryptic maze. You realize you don't know each other. Yeah. You realize you don't know each other. Oh, I don't know you. Neither do I know you. Talk to you later. Boy.
Did you ever see someone that you become best friends with in a session?
Yes.
And like you are in that moment, you are talking to your soulmate.
Yep.
And you make so many plans and you find out that you have a symbiotic relationship going on and you're never going to forget this ever. And then you see them Tuesday in Donnymead Shopping Centre and you take off running, hoping that they didn't fucking believe all that shit.
You empty a bag of Muesli out and stick it over your head walking down the aisles or something with two peepholes. Yeah, no, that's weird. That happens all the time, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that happens all the time. You just talk shit and then you just end up becoming...
John, do either of you do sessions now, like with people you don't really know?
No. We haven't in years.
Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, we haven't in years. Yeah.
Go on.
Well, there's one.
Because we're clever.
There's one.
We don't want to show the true self.
Yeah. Well, I do. I sit with a bag of music on my face when I'm with him and Damo anyway. Like,
I think I was telling you off the last time a story.
Yeah.
And I'll tell a bit of a story.
Oh, Jesus, don't tell that story.
Do you not think so? I probably shouldn't, should I?
No, go on. It's your career, mate, not me.
Actually, you're right. No, you... Actually, do you know what? I need one of you, Lydia, all the time to censor me.
No, I don't think so. The one about your man? Don't say that. Yeah, don't say
right,
that. Right. I'm sorry to listen, but...
Do you know what I was going to tell?
Come on, here, switch between you.
If it had been verse then.
Yeah, don't tell that. I'm sorry to my listeners, but I care about John too much for him to actually say this.
It's too late. I've been destroyed and cancelled 10 times over.
No. Quickly, tell another fucking story, quick.
Another story, Teddy.
No, it's not about stories.
No, but session. When's would your head just be wrecked?
With new people?
Yeah.
Couldn't do that. Couldn't do that whatsoever. Like, me and Teddy and another person who will not be named are the kind of three compadres.
Yeah.
And we plan things out and we like to get the most out of a weekend and we literally fucking do mad shit. Like, but we could be walking around Dublin and reading fucking Ulysses and fucking outside Bean's house and reading a book and then do pint crawling and every kind of good pint across town and
take our time in nature.
So that's when it's civilized.
Or go to nature. That's when it would start off.
No, we'd always end up like a campfire or at an open fire. We'd drink the night away. We'd sing songs all the way to the early hours in the morning.
We'll dance.
And we'll dance for ages. Then we'll go get a couple of hours rest and we'll get up and we'll do it again.
That's proper.
But it's like a vacation. It's not a weekend thing. This is something that happens four times a year.
So you really feel like you're getting away or like you're escaping.
I just wrote a song about it called Summer Slauncher that's going to come out about our summer meetups. It's my next single.
So
that's beautiful, that beautiful fresh song. But it symbolises the lads. But it's great. It's like a holiday then. Do you know what I mean? Like it's like fucking four times a year. Become sacred, John.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
Become sacred. And that's what replaced.
Well, we were
the
doing
dirty
it.
Running around, drinking, everybody's your mate.
Yeah.
Ending
yeah
up in mad places with sausages, ex-cons, villains, rapists, murderers.
Yeah,
you think I didn't land there? You think we didn't land there?
We
were in houses that like fucking the windows were coming through. Do you know what I mean? Like squads coming through from back in the day.
Do you remember the fence?
We land in like the most hostile places.
We're in that fence.
Because we're cool with everybody.
Yeah.
We're cool with everybody. You know, everybody, man.
Do you remember the fence? I'm telling this one. The fence of house in Darndale we ended up in. Teddy.
Oh,
dear God.
Jesus.
Dear God.
Come on. You're the poetic one here.
We walked in there anyway, found out a few of our old... This is a long time ago, okay? I wouldn't be there in this era. But a long, long time ago. And we walked into the house, and I swear to God, There was everybody inside this place. There was everybody at everything. There was crackheads and everything. I went up to the toilet. Someone was smoking crack out of a Red Bull can. I said, oh my God, this is getting bad. This is getting very bad. But there was two girls that were very interested in this, so that kind of kept us there. You know, necessities and all that.
Weird upstairs with the Red Bull can, right?
Yeah. No, definitely. She didn't have the Red Bull can.
Yeah.
She had the belt around her arm.
Can I just cut in there?
Can I just cut in there to give
some emphasis to what's going on here? Yeah. Like you just end up in these places after nightclubs and stuff like that. You've nowhere to go. It might be lashing rain. Oh, so and so. You know, just to let you know. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is how we end up.
Teddy, I have gone on a session before. Yeah, I mean, I'm not being day one here. I know I'm naive, but come on.
Have you seen the Red Bull can? Have you? Yeah, listen, I haven't seen a Red Bull can.
Listen, sometimes you'd go fucking to hell instead of going home. Because you're just not ready. The goo is on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, we got some really bad vibes. I'm not going to tell a lot of the shit that happened anyway. Got some really bad vibes. And Teddy just says to me, bro, I think we should go right now. And I said, yes. So the two of us just walked out, said nothing, walked around the corner and set down the little pillars in Arendelle with a bottle each in our hand. And we both went, thank fuck, I'm out of there. That was heavy. And he says, yeah. And within 10 seconds, 30 guards went through the door of the house and took everybody out.
In cuffs. In the back
and
of the van.
Arrested them.
Oh,
and brought
shit.
Them down to Coolock Garda Station.
Yeah, but it was like the SWAT team, like, you know what I'm saying? They put the window in to get into the house.
I don't even know what it was. Someone in there did something bad anyway, put it that way. Like, so we
Holy
were saved.
Holy shit. Is it at what point in is this recent? Like, recent enough?
What?
7-8 years ago.
Jesus, now a lifetime ago, but.
Right. That's not that long ago, 7-8 years ago.
Well, we've changed.
The streets of Darndale, it is.
Yeah, but that's what I mean. Yeah, we changed heavy 4 or 5 times since then, I feel like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
It
seems like 5 lifetimes
yes.
ago.
We keep evolving like Pokemon.
Oh, yeah. That's what we spoke about the last time, wasn't it? You have to evolve.
Yeah. And he's Squirtle.
Yeah, I'm Squirtle, yeah.
He's Squirtle.
Do you think.
What would you be?
What would you be, Bill? Bulbasaur.
Oh, no, she's a Meowthu.
I've never.
You are Meowthu.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, look, I can see
the eyes.
Same thing, John.
Yeah, go on, the what eyes. Is
the exact
she
same thing.
She looks like
yeah, I swear
a Meowthu.
To God. Yeah.
A Meowthu?
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you ripping the piss out of me right now?
No, is your sister's name Meowthu? Was like, that's how much you look like. Like, that's an honest question.
Seriously.
Shane, Google Meowthu.
Have you inspired Pokemon?
Shut up. Meowthu, as in meow, cat, meow.
Yeah, yes. I think it's
meow
a second evolution.
Two,
and it's a second evolution Meowthu, isn't it? What was the first
this
one?
This is Pokemon.
Yeah.
Don't know.
Gotta
Lydia,
get them on.
Lydia looks like the third evolution, in my opinion.
Oh, the third. The most
I swear
advanced.
To God.
Looks
the
more,
most advanced.
Looks more Meowthu looks. Than Meowthu.
Yeah, but that's what I said. That's what I thought was her sister.
Shane, have you Googled that? Do I look like it? Is
same.
That me, the purple thing?
Yeah.
The same. Look, the big picture.
Ah.
Meowthu.
She's cool.
Look, has
she
a good
cool,
head. Has a
she's
presence,
a good head.
Has, a, like, has, a, has a, like a pair of kind of voluptuous goes down to a nice...
Oh, yeah.
And the exact same size feet as you look. Like Roger Rabbit.
It's better be fucking Squirtle anyway than who I am.
What Squirtle?
I'm Squirtle.
Well, why are we getting these names?
Why not?
No, but like, why are you called Squirtle?
Because I squirt. I'm pulled. I got the full operation.
And that does that makes less
I
more sense.
My
which is even funnier.
This.
I now identify
Hold
as a
on
woman.
A minute.
I'm a woman. I'm Joan Connors. And that's it. I'm a woman now. Everybody better fucking accept it. I'm living my life as a woman. Use my correct pronouns. That's it.
Oh, Joan.
And I'm not taking fucking estrogen. I'm keeping this voice.
Joan, you're the funniest woman I know. I swear to God. Oh my God, Joe.
Very good, very
my
good.
My knacker.
Very good.
Yeah.
Wait, I don't even know where we were there.
Squirtle.
No. Let's come on. I want to talk about who's going to win the next fight.
Yeah.
Come on. I
what
need
fight
to know.
Are we talking about?
McGregor, Poirier. Let's talk about that. People want to know. But can we have a small conversation?
We can talk about that, but then can we also talk about Canelo BJS at the weekend?
Yeah.
Oh, no, let's talk about that first.
Yeah, did you stay up and watch it?
Yeah.
You were with each other.
Hell yeah.
I know
Hell
what
yeah.
you were doing through his
Gypsy
Instagram.
Crew. Yeah. Let's go, my gypsy crew. We were all behind Billy Joe Saunders. We stayed up for that shit.
Yeah, I didn't stay up. I set my alarm. I got up at 4:15 just at Ringwalk.
Yeah.
Just in time for Canelo's.
Well,
I seen on your gram that you were watching. Yeah.
I was on the gram. Yeah.
I think he did well, and I think he was up by a round. But there was a sense of inevitability because of the difference in power.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't have enough power to keep someone away and warn them, it's very difficult. They're going to catch up. And if you look at round one, Canelo was throwing those left hooks to the body of a southpaw and connecting hard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's putting the water downstairs. You know what I mean? That's what it's doing.
A lot of people are, looking back at that, you know, one or two, like some people are saying two, three rounds to Billy Joe. But when you look at those rounds of him being up, do you look at Canelo just being getting into gear?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Canelo said it himself that he was going to stop him in the eighth, and it was technically the eighth, maybe the ninth, because he didn't come out for the ninth. Yeah, he was willing to lose rounds. And you're always like that with a boxer anyway, because they're on the foot. And he was on his feet, constantly moving too much, in my opinion. And you could see, especially in the second round, because I thought he won the first. In the second round, he had a nervousness about him, and that when he threw punches, he was immediately trying to get out of there, and he wasn't sitting down on his punches. And he was so nervous of the punches. You know what I mean? So the writing was on the wall. I went for Billy Joe. And it's partly because I thought he never fought anybody like him since Mayweather. He's a southpaw, all that kind of stuff. And then he's a gypsy. I'm not a gypsy, but we're kind of similar. And I'm just kind of backing him through faith, really.
Mm-hmm.
But after the second round, I knew that the writing was on the wall. Canelo's not going to be beaten. I think he's beefed up anyway with that Mexican steroids beef anyway. We know that. He's tested positive on that. So
How hard is he hitting? How hard is he hitting? Did you see that?
Even when you watch him hitting the bag,
it's
or hitting
unhuman,
pads,
right?
The sound of those shots when he was hitting Billy with him.
Yeah.
And like, it's then steroids. When you look about the steroids and then it opens up the can of worms of like, should he actually even be in there?
It's
you know what I mean? And
it's
the
steroids.
Fact he's the money making machine, you know what I mean? He's so much riding on him. But like, look at Billy Joe's face. I mean, like, they're saying
he broke his orbital.
That was one shot.
Right uppercut.
Yeah, in defense to Billy Joe, I thought he was doing great.
Yeah.
All right. I think he was giving him a different puzzle that he hadn't gotten in a long time.
Yeah.
It's true.
And frustrated him a little bit. Canelo was missing shots. You never see Canelo miss shots.
No.
Right? I mean, 98% accuracy that man has.
Yeah.
If he throws a punch, it lands, whether it's on your arm or it's the shot. You know what I mean? But he'd be swinging for thin air a lot. There's a blueprint there. There's a blueprint there. It's just...
Well, the blueprint is what Mayweather done. However, Canelo is a more advanced machine than when he fought Mayweather. He fought him at 22. He did lose every single round of that fight, in my opinion, though.
But probably not by much. Just enough, like the way Mayweather does it. He just does a skill job.
Yeah, well, a nice...
He does a skill job and he shows you what you want to watch.
But look what Canelo did from that. He literally adapted his style and took some of what Mayweather fucking gave to him and dished out to him.
Yeah.
He took on the shoulder roll. He took on many different things that Mayweather does, like his great head movement, his great lateral movement. He hits fucking really hard. He's really smart. He's a high boxing IQ. He's like the mix between the kind of typical African American fighter and a Mexican fighter. He has the kind of African American skills that they have, you know what I mean? And he's adapted that, and he says that actually. He's open about that. And that's scary that when he comes up against such a strong opponent, he then reassesses himself and looks at what he did great and then adapts that into his own style. And he's still only 30. Like, I remember seeing him at 15. I've seen him box at 15 years of age.
Alive.
Yeah, me, cousin Fraggle. There was a channel that showed Mexican boxing, and we seen him at 15. He was like 5-0 at 15.
Nice.
And I remember seeing him. He was, I think, at the time probably a bantamweight or even a flyweight. And me and my cousin said he's going to be world champion. Really skinny he was at the time, but he's had 54 fights now, 57 fights or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, and he's only fucking 30. You know what I mean? And he's, you know,
he looks so Irish as well.
When he has,
so
when he
was younger, Irish. He has to have
when he
so
was
more
younger,
Irish
he just looked totally Irish.
Does he?
Has, so he did a DNA test. So there was a group of people that fought for Mexico against America, in the Mexican American War about land and Texas and all everything like that, New Mexico and that. And what happened was a lot of them got off the boat. In America, and he immediately signed up to the American Army to fight against the Mexicans. And what then a lot of them thought, what are we doing? We're fighting against an imperial power, fighting against another, and a Catholic Protestant thing as well. And we just came from that escape and that. So a lot of them went AWOL and joined the Mexican Army, and they created their own brigade called the San Patricio Brigade, headed by John Riley, a fellow from Waterford, actually. And he's a hero now.
Ooh,
so
they
built a cathedral.
Get the flags.
There's a St. Patricio Cathedral built in their honor in Mexico City. And St. Paddy's Day is one of the biggest days of the year in Mexico. And 300,000 Mexicans have Irish Irish heritage, including Saúl, Canelo Alvarez.
Wow, John. Mm.
Deadly. Yeah.
The Chieftains had an album called The San Patricio that was 16 weeks number one in Mexico. Damo has a song about it as well.
No way. Mm,
yeah.
John, if I ever go on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, will you be my phone friends?
No.
What?
I'd be no good for that shit.
Are you kidding me? You just have to go through bleeding 2 centuries of fucking history here.
Well,
like,
that's
or
history.
Fucking hell.
Hey, great story. The best.
But do we think, before we move on to McGregor Poirier, do we think that if Billy Joe Saunders had fought Canelo kind of post Andy Lee Lemieux kind of stage, that he would have had a better opportunity?
Absolutely. And not just because maybe you could say Billy Joe was in better shape or at a better stage of career, it'd be more that Canelo wasn't so advanced. That's what I would take that he, because in the last, if you look at his last 4 to 5 performances, he's went through the roof and improved so much, and moving up in weight and that, and possibly middleweight would have suited Billy Joe a little bit more as well when Canelo was middleweight a few years back as well, which he'll probably go back down to middleweight once he goes undisputed in the super middleweight. I predict that he will do that. So I think he would have had a better shot then, but I mean, there's no one really gonna, there's a fella called Benavidez who's looking really good, youngster, unbeaten. He might have a shot, but it's about the timing, about taking the time to try to push him quick. But the only really way I can see him be beaten is if he's moving back up the light heavyweight, which he won a title against Kovalev. But if he goes against someone else who's in the prime at light heavyweight, someone might beat him with size.
Yeah.
But that's really it. Like, he's pound for pound number one, and anybody who talks about Terence Crawford being pound for pound number one have to get their heads checked. Terence Crawford has fought nobody. Terence Crawford has fought nobody. Nobody's best fucking win is a shot to bits Kell Brook. That's his best win. I don't get this. I know he's a 3-weight world champion, but he fought fucking nobody. He's 30 fucking 5 now nearly, and he's fought nobody. Errol Spence has fought a better level of opponent, and he hasn't fought enough either at a higher level to be a bit protected to bits. So Canelo is, but look at his fucking, look at his CV who he's beaten. It's crazy. He's beaten so many world champions, only 30. He's by far number one, pound for pound.
And then obviously Demetrius Andrade as well is like calling for that Canelo fight as well. And he, in the press conference, like, how good was it to see Canelo speaking English?
Get
the fuck out of here.
And you see,
so good.
You see his personality coming through.
Totally. I think Eddie Hearn in Matchroom.
Eddie Hearn's best promoter alive.
It's the first time I've seen emotion out of him, really, boys, when he was walking out smiling.
Oh, literally.
And he was
like
giving praise to the fans. He's normally just stoic and just like real serious.
But he reminded me
of, like, you know, I said it to Packy when we were watching the fight at the time. It reminds you of just, you know, he had the discipline and the poise of like a monk, like all the time. You know that man lives by a book. And he goes and shows up 3 times every day in the gym.
He's had 70 days
at the same time. You know what I mean? You know he's that guy.
His last 2 fights back to back have been just 70 days between each fight. He lives in the gym, like, he's just ready to go.
Absolutely nuts. And in terms of like his personality, we never see it at all in any previous fights.
Eddie Hearn.
But now, from this one fight, we've seen like the clip that's circulating on like social media with like his family afterwards going over, like individually thanking each one of them for coming, hugging him, kissing him. We see him like in the press conference talking English, like slagging off Boo Andrade, like just so clever, so smart. And the fact that he's speaking English now on camera as well is huge.
He cemented his legacy like as one of the best, I think, now.
Yeah.
He can just like, he had a lot to prove when he was young as well. He was just coming in there with the, you know, you can just see.
And if he beats Caleb Plant, which I think he's going to fucking plant Caleb Plant in September, possibly.
I don't think anyone wants to see that fight.
He's
going to
become,
they?
Well, it's the undisputed fight, so it's not a like a big huge fight.
Yeah.
But he becomes the first undisputed super middleweight Mexican champion ever, which is what he wants.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think he's going to move down the middle after and do the same. If you're undisputed at 2 weights, like, that's crazy.
It's not.
And he's won 4.
I'd love to see John fight Andy Ruiz. But then you wouldn't know who it's here in the press conference if you had the t-shirt on.
Me with about 6 sunbeds.
Something else,
I'm
man.
Fast like him as well. Fast and
you,
fat,
man, I tell you. But
it's
see,
a great combination,
like, you know, I was going to say I wouldn't like a smack up, but I've taken hundreds of
have them. You sparred? Two of you sparred?
Ah, yeah.
That's how we met. Like, we met punching each other.
Yeah, we just started.
You are sound. Oh, stop hitting me so hard, John. Please, I'm hitting you 40%. You baldy bastard.
That's how we started. That's when we started training with each other and sparring over in the old bodywork gym. Remember?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
What was really weird.
Yeah.
Charity fight, wasn't it?
A charity.
You were training for
charity. It was just after Stalker, and like he had long hair down to here, right? It was brushed back.
Yeah. John did. Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Well,
long hair.
Well, a big rag of head right down to there.
About there.
We had a pull back and
that's
had
long.
Long. Yeah.
Long for me. Yeah.
And he was just hitting the heavy bag down there. And at the time, we used to hang out in this place called Body Works Gym in Coolock there. And there'd be a lot of unsanctioned belts going on in there.
Yeah.
Let's just say that. And we used to hang around there, and we used to just spar everybody that came in, right? At the time.
Yeah.
And you used to have this radar because you had not a bit of a reputation. This is what we like to do. We like to hang out and fight. Like, you know, was it ego when I reflect back now? Probably, yeah, because, you know, we've all matured in a way.
Yeah.
But when I look back, our ego was keeping us there because we were good at fighting.
Yeah.
And we used to just hang out.
Yeah.
So we had, like, you know, like a radar on everybody and stuff like that. But I just heard the heavy bag gone one day. Like Godzilla, you know, and I look down, I see them Irish championship fucking bleeding body shots getting sunk in by John. I could hear them, and that's what turned my head, like, you know what I mean? I'm saying, Jesus Christ, look at his technique. I was like, I haven't seen a killer in here like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk to him just because of his technique. That's all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, knew nothing about his boxing history or anything like that. But we ended up talking about, which was great, the first conversation we ever had.
Yeah, what's the first What did you say to him? Have you gone up to him or what?
What?
What was the first word? Like, did you go up, like, when he finished hitting the bag? I mean, like,
I said,
you hitting the bag there.
No, Teddy's a great memory. Teddy remember everything.
No. Not even that. Like, listen, when you're, I'd like to think of myself as a martial artist, I guess. But at the time, you know, like, I was looking at him, I says, I have to compliment him on his technique.
Yeah.
So it was easy for me to approach him.
Yeah.
Like a stranger. Do you know what I mean? If you showed me like a slick move and you know, in jiu-jitsu and stuff like that, I can tank it no problem more. If I see somebody do something, I say, yo, in the instructional, what way you did that grip, made it sticky underneath the underhook.
Yeah.
That taught me a lot. So I came up to him and told him that, his technique like Tyson. I was like, yo, you punch like Tyson, man. You know what I mean? Like, it was fucking sick. And he was like, what?
And I blushed.
And
did
he was no, he was on the cross trainer, and I started a conversation with him. He was on the cross trainer, but then we had this like half 40-minute conversation where he was on the cross.
Where you were just standing up looking at me, and I was on the cross trainer just burning away for this charity fight for suicide awareness. I was making a comeback for a charity fight. Yeah.
No way,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we have that DVD over there somewhere.
So in the first conversation, I guess the important part of this topic is in the first part of the conversation. We had shared our interest on martial arts, and then it went quickly into music, quickly into film. It just accelerated into this conversation where both of us realised we were creatives.
And we're both creatives from Darndale. Do you know what I mean?
We realised you're pursuing, like back then, for a man on a cross train to tell me that he's going to,
that's 10 years ago,
he's going to become an actor
it's
or whatever like that.
No, 9 years.
I was like, yo, you're acting, bro. Yeah, man. Yeah. Just did one or two small things. Gonna be doing some bigger things than that.
I just did my second film and none of them were out. None of them were out and nothing. No,
and I was like, yeah, I was like, I recorded my first track the other day. It's like, oh, my music's gonna be in films, bro.
No way.
Yeah.
And this is a big time for both of you. You've just started, you know, and you've gone through that whole, like, you know, where you acting had, as you said, saved you in a capacity,
absolutely,
you know?
Yeah.
So you're like going through all these like changes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And I went from there, and then I heard one of your songs and I said, I'm gonna put it in the film, and then. And then we start hanging around each other and going out and drinking and fucking going to the blacker and fucking debauchery and all that stuff. And then you start going out with this girl, and then I didn't see her for about 9 months. Do you remember
that? Teddy.
No, but we're just kind of casually.
It's the bro rule.
No, but we weren't even getting really close, but we just say every second week, oh, what's up? Yeah, or we bumped into each other and then we just start. And then Teddy got on with this girl and you spent a long time away, didn't you?
Oh, I remember actually tattooing in a tattoo shop at the time. And my aspirations for music were starting to kind of fleet slowly. And I met John. I hadn't seen him in months. And he was parked up in the car outside the gym. Again, going into Body Works to work out to this place where we used to spar and stuff. And he was outside only after being in there, sitting with another friend. And he said to me, what story were you, man? I was like, oh, what's up, brother? He was like, yeah, where you been at, man? Oh, I've just been down so-and-so and blah, blah, blah. He's like, what are you doing with yourself? I'm like, I'm going to try this tattooing shit, like, you know what I mean, see what's going on. And he was like, what? Are you serious? You're going to stop making music? He was like, man, what are you doing, bro? He says, you're losing the run of yourself, man. He says, you're the best, man. You're the best ever, man. He says, you're one of the fucking goats, man.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you were going to stop doing this fucking music shit. And I was just lost at the time. I didn't really know what was going on. Just checking my options out as well. Yeah. Mm. But to hear that then from a friend, do you know what I mean? Like, it was something I needed to fucking hear, because we all need guidance.
You do,
we all need to be told what we're doing is the right thing sometimes.
Oh, yeah, you know, no matter how confident you are in your own work.
I think that's what makes you. That's what makes you, not what you feel. Who someone you love and someone you trust, what they think.
Yeah, big time.
That's way more important.
You need the love sometimes, the pat on the back, the acceptance, and that you're going in the right direction.
Yeah.
100%.
That's a very interesting space, though, right? Mm. I wish Tiernan Williams was here, because he could delve into that.
Tiernan already has an evaluation review already.
Of me?
Yeah.
You're joking.
He listened to the podcast I was on. He loved that and the Teddy one. So he knows you inside out now.
Oh, don't say that. I'm getting all embarrassed.
Don't be embarrassed.
Because it's like when...
He knows me inside out.
It's like when Teddy's mom came in, a medium, and I was like, I felt like she could see into my soul, you know? So, but go on, tell me what he said.
It's not for me to tell you that.
John, tell me what he said, will you?
It's not for me to tell you that.
Is it good or is it bad?
Oh, yeah. It's not. It's neither. It's not like that. It's a straightforward evaluation. Mm. Not that he said, look, he's sitting down writing something. I asked him to evaluate the conversation a bit. And then
he broke it down. What he said.
No, I'm not going to get into that, because that doesn't matter. It's not negative.
I need to hear it now.
No, you don't.
I want to hear it. Is it good or is it bad?
It's
now.
Good. It's good.
She seeks the knowledge.
He said you were very driven.
Interesting.
He said lots more. Is that all? It's not for me to say. It's the same. Listen, Tiernan turns off the radar. I asked him. I just said, look, deconstruct the thing and see what you think or whatever. And what do you think and whatever. And he found you very likable and all that. But whatever, it's not for me to say what he said in detail.
What do you think about that, Liddy? That's like, he said some nice things
now
about you. But I won't tell you the other stuff he said about
now
you.
Now you're putting me on a trajectory my God, Tiernan Williams is fucking thinking I'm something mad bitch. And now John won't be friends with me anymore. And now this podcast isn't even going to get aired. And I'm shitting my job.
What?
And
I'm here.
What am I going to fucking do?
Sure, I'm here right now.
Yeah, but it mightn't go out. We mightn't get even release it. That's where I'm going with this.
She said not.
I'd like to announce I'm quitting everything because I need reassurance, because I'm a Leo.
Yeah.
And as I'm very outgoing and in your face, I'm actually very sensitive on the inside. I need a lot of encouragement and a lot of pats on the back.
You're doing a great job.
Thanks, John.
You are driven.
You are, absolutely.
You are driven. Yeah. You don't.
We love you. That's why we're here.
It.
We love you, Lydia. That's why we're here.
I love
you too. You're the only one doing this.
Like, you know,
you
are. There's no one else doing it. You're doing so much as well. You're doing so much. And you're doing a great job.
Okay, John, you're taking the piss out of me now.
You kept me fucking occupied over COVID with all the interviews you were doing with all these boxers and all. I was like, who the fuck? How is she doing this? Like, some great fucking big names and all. And you were brilliant.
Yeah.
And you're the only person doing it in Ireland.
Thank you.
So you're the pioneer of what you do. You are the pioneer. That's a fact. That's not a compliment. Obviously, you realise that.
Obviously.
No, I don't.
Of course you're the pioneer.
Of course you are.
I'm not a
pioneer. Of course you are, but you just need to be told it. You just need to be told it.
No, yeah. I'm just doing it because no one else is doing it. No, yeah, I would be doing it if other people were doing it.
You saw the gap and you had the fucking courage to do it.
You're doing it. That's the difference.
It takes fucking courage to start your own business, put yourself out there and mix with the people you did and mix with fighters as well.
Yeah.
People of those temperaments. You know what I mean? And to do everything you need and put it up.
Which is their favourite shit.
And do it all on yourself. All independently. No funding behind you. No back. And all off your own back. Sure, fucking hell. Why is no one else doing it? Because they're not willing to do that. You were willing to do that. Now look where you are and how well you're doing. And you're going to go, you're going to start flying and soaring. And you know that.
Yeah.
Thanks, John. Appreciate that. That's very nice of you to say.
No, it's a fact.
But can we talk about fighters for a second?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a really good point that you like mentioned there, in that fighters are a special breed.
Mm.
And that's one thing that I noticed, that I get a buzz out of navigating a conversation with a lunatic.
Yeah.
Like, does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Especially after they fought, when their endorphins are flying and you don't know whether they're going to punch you, headbutt you, or like tell you they love you.
And the ego as well. It's fucking
yeah,
fine,
yeah, totally. Yeah, 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 yeah.
You do get the best out of them. You're great at that. So that's an art in itself. Not a lot of people could deal with that pressure, somebody coming from something like that and being able to kind of draw this story, you know, this.
I don't know. I think it's because I genuinely love fighting. So I'm excited, and I think that they know that I'm excited when I'm talking.
It's your passion.
Like,
love it.
You in interviews, you're full of passion.
Yeah.
I can see it in you. I love passionate people. I only want passionate people around me because it makes me passionate.
Mm.
You know, and when you're down and you're in the room with someone passionate, you feed off them.
Mm-hmm.
And we love to see people passionate and to see people enjoy themselves. and that can't be faked. And you, when you're on camera and you're interviewing people, we know you love doing that, probably more than anything.
Mm.
And that's why we want to watch. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the fighters know that. And it's the reason why they reveal things to you. And it's the reason why they give you time, because they know you're passionate. You know what I mean? You're not someone that's around here with ulterior motives. You fucking love this shit.
Yeah.
So look at you. You're doing fucking jiu-jitsu, everything, all the MMA. Yeah, no. You practice what you fucking preach.
Yeah.
You wanted to know more about the anatomy of fighting, and you've done that. And from what I heard, you're pretty good.
That's you, kids.
How's the jiu-jitsu training going?
Yeah, really good.
Yeah.
Done a couple of sessions this week. Yeah. Really good. I want to get back, like, properly training. Because I was training like an athlete, you know, up until a couple of years ago, like properly training with the pro team, competing, all that. And it's just, you just feel like an animal.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? In everything that you do, you feel like an animal, because you're like, you're eating well, you're training hard, you're like body's sore, you're like...
Yeah. That's an invincible type of feeling, isn't it?
That's
an invincible type of feeling when you know you're the sharpest version of yourself.
Yes.
That really hits home with your brain, doesn't it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
and then when you don't do that, you miss it. Like, your body misses it as well.
You always miss, you're absolutely depressed. You don't feel like that for the rest of your life. Because when you reach these physical highs, they're also mental peaks too.
Yeah. Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, the fuck, you're on top of a mountain.
But the mind is so powerful. You'll get all that right back. You'll get into all that. You'll get back into your routine in a new setting.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll go further and further and further. And you're nowhere near your peak in any way. In your career or in your fighting or training or anything like that, you've yet to peak. You know what I mean? It's all ahead of you.
It's going to be great.
Jesus, now there's a little bit too much. Someone say something bad about me.
It's
going to
be great. Why would we say something bad? There's nothing bad to say about you.
It's going
to
be great. It's going to be a great journey. Trust it and just roll with it.
I'm just having a great time though. Do you know what I mean?
You're doing
like
great.
This is work.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
This is work.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
No.
This is a buzz.
So fun. Oh, it's great.
And do you know what? Probably as well, I've done so many shit jobs in my day.
Yeah.
Like I'm not beyond like scraping plates in the City Arms in Waterford. No. Like, do you know what I mean? I still remember that. And sweeping like hair up out of, can't remember the hairdresser's name.
But that gives you your humility. You have a lot of humility about you.
Yeah.
That's because you've done them jobs.
Yeah, 100%. And from music as well, being in the band and like getting the opportunity and then it being taken away and then being on my arse after it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like when I was in the band in music, I really did think like I've made it. And like I'm an asshole now because I am so fucking cool, and then it was gone and it's taken away from you, and you're just like, what do I do now?
You might need to clean a few more Jaxes or something like
that. I'm telling you,
to get a bit more humble.
Do you know Teddy?
Do you know Teddy?
But for that to happen, and now like I went through that you know.
Teddy used to wipe arses in the black of her fiver. That's a fact.
What?
He used to wipe arses. People used to just fucking reverse up them.
It was a good earner.
He used to just reverse into the toilet. He wiped their arses on fiber.
This thing is, I actually don't even know if you're joking or not, because I won't put it past you.
I'm not joking.
And I won't put it past the blacker either.
I used to
have a choker box sellotape to my head, and they used to just put the tenner in it, turn around after I wipe their arse and put the tenner in it.
I swear to God, they used to reverse up like a transit. They'd open their arse cheeks and then he'd wipe it all clean. Then you were sick, man. He was like a butler. Jesus Christ, what a legend.
There'll be people listening
some fivers
who are wondering what the fuck's going on, but also what the blacker is.
Oh, the blacker was an infamous nightclub in Coolock. Oh, I was there for 40 years, Teddy. Your parents went there, like.
But we were there for the last night.
The very last night.
But they told nobody it was going to close. But it's a legendary spot. Like I said, it's around 40 year. Like, but it's always changed and stuff.
What a crazy place.
You used to get all the mad heads from all the, like Clondalk and Talib Blanche, town.
And then everybody in Coolock, because it was in Coolock.
No, but it was predominantly Coolock. Yeah. But then you just get all these splashes of mad people, like, just coming as well. Like, you know what I mean?
And then you see it. No, you grew up and everybody, we all went to fucking school together, primary school, secondary school. And everyone from all around Coolock, so there was this familiarity, but every fucking mad joke too from Coolock.
Yeah.
And then you had the bar that you go down to, me and Teddy go down, we get a thing called the blackout tray. Can you remember what was exactly in the blackout tray, Teddy? It was 20 quid.
Yeah, there was two fat frogs.
Pints of fat frogs.
Points of fat frogs.
Two vodka Red Bulls each.
Two double vodka Red Bulls and two shots of fucking...
Aftershock. And we drink about six of them. And then go upstairs And then we'd have a good time upstairs. It was fucking great.
More choker boxes God, up there, was it?
I wish it was back, man, them days in the Blacker, man.
Yeah.
But then we were there the last night and he just told us going out then, yeah.
Well, like, as you were leaving?
Yeah,
no
it's the last night ever. And they were selling all drinks, so I think we bought about 4 bottles of vodka on the way out and about 100 fags.
We used to just
It shut after, just after Carver Gangs, wasn't a few months after. Yeah, 2015.
I bankrupted them the amount of arses I was wiping.
He was a professional arse wiper.
We can't keep up with this kid. No one's buying drinks anymore. Everybody's ass is spotless.
He had a technique.
Everybody's ass is spotless.
He had the perfect technique. They give you a little finger and all. Someone liked it, that. You have to give the tip. You have to give a tip to get that. So Teddy cuts my beard for me every couple of weeks for a fiver.
I'm a very talented man. Like,
no, but
like, he drops over for
is
a bit.
Is there anything you can't do?
He drops over for a bit of grooming. I can't do the splits, right? So so I rang up a fella anyway and he says, yeah, Grant. He says, yeah, you're flexible. I says, yeah, on Tuesdays and Thursdays I'm free.
Do you remember Teddy?
Dad jokes,
Teddy?
101.
Teddy, do you remember Teddy? You were in my cabin, man. Teddy, do you remember? You were in my cabin. And we were drinking that diesel vodka. And your two ankles ended up behind your head.
Easy.
Yo, do you know what's great around the hood? Like, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
his two ankles were wrapped around his head like a helicopter.
What's great around
the, this diesel vodka?
What's great around Coolock is like there'd be certain shops and stuff like your local shops, like your Centres and stuff like that, or whatever it be.
Yeah.
They'd stay open for us. Like, we'd be able to knock at the window and enter into these shops at any time. All access, and after 12 o'clock and go in. And legitimately,
but you had to know you very well.
And legitimately open the drink cabinet. And like
whatever
just,
you want,
just get enough for like
smokes if you
like,
want.
They're turning on the lights, like come on in the back door.
Just a little door.
Bring you in the back. That's
whatever drink you wanted. Fucking yeah, whatever you wanted. Yeah.
And are you paying there? Are you just taking?
Oh yeah,
paying
regular prices. Yeah, just a regular price. But just he what 7 a.m. sometimes he'd be open to. But we'd go to town and we get a few nikes on the way home. Then about 4 or 5, then we'd pop in and get a few bottles of vodka or wine or whatever smokes and
yeah for
and
a
back to mind
for a nightcap, there'd be people with us.
Oh, we'd have a crew. We'd have about 10 taxis following them.
We'd have a crew and we'd go. Like,
the good old days.
They sound like the good old days.
Oh, they were fucking deadly.
Yeah.
I don't regret one of them. Well, maybe. Maybe one of them. Well, maybe not.
One or two.
Shit,
one or
you
two.
Regret more than that, let me tell you.
Oh, so come here. McGregor, then you were saying, Teddy. Who wins, man?
Poirier, McGregor,
who do you think, Lilia?
I think Poirier wins again. Sorry.
Yeah,
hashtag,
that's cool. That's cool because
sorry,
like
sorry.
Yeah, yeah, but like I'm like yourself. I've always been like a realist, and I always let the facts try to speak or the science try to speak more than where my heart is.
Yeah.
It was like when McGregor busted onto the scene, and he, you know, they kept putting him up against someone that I was convinced because I had a relationship with whoever it was he was fighting, like because they were around way longer. I was like, I don't think he's going to beat. You know, whoever it was,
saying,
I don't think
will.
He's going to be. He kept just saying, yeah, Will, you're a hater. I'm like, fuck it. No, I'm not a hater, John. It's like, man,
and
you
kept
know.
Fucking sparking them then.
And he just kept sparking everybody. Like,
at what point did you stop being a hater and start believing?
No, there we go. I was never hating. I was just an MMA analyst, like, that was just not being biased towards, like, you know, McGregor was looking at their styles and stuff like that. That's all, really, you know.
Lydia, can I just tell you, right?
Go on.
Oh, my God, I've never laughed as much in my life at this. Oh, McGregor's so funny. Just beyond funny. But you have to be a dark person to laugh at one particular thing.
You know what I mean? Like,
he did the press conference for the Khabib fight. Me and Teddy watched that live. Oh, my God. The man walked out.
The other one where he was exactly like Tony Montana. The devil's advocate. He just turned into the evil side of himself. Just evil McGregor-like.
It was evil.
It was like Al Pacino at the table in Scarface. Yeah. Remember when he had that bleeding? Yeah. Remember the Christmas tree in front of him?
Smelly rat, you rat.
We're shooting on the bus.
We
thought that
rat.
Was like McGregor's like third evolution. We says no, he's
like,
evolved.
And he, all the Americanisms were gone. He was just back
he
to crumbling.
The crumbling.
You
and we says, we love it. We love it. That's what we said.
The smell of shite off you.
The smell of shite off you.
The shite in the back of the bus. Come on. Pool on bus.
One. Say something about Putin.
So listen. This is the funniest thing, right? He's actually trying to get him to say something bad about fucking
Vladimir.
President Putin. Like, Session, we're there. Session, we know. Session, he's trying to get him whacked. And me and Teddy, we're very dark, like, so we're laughing.
Very dark. We love that.
But though. We're going.
That's my man. We were going.
He's really on the
we
edge
were
here.
Saying,
like,
that's my man, though.
Little rat.
Yeah, Joe. You know,
and
we're
see
like,
that little
yeah,
turd is the fucking rat scum that manages you, yeah. And he starts into all this mad shit about FBI. Oh, you should have. Oh my God, the man is some researcher.
Yeah, because Ali Abib, he's had a little dodgy past, yeah. I think, or something. Yeah.
But
yeah,
fuck me, that was crazy. But I have to.
It didn't translate into like it didn't like it only translated to like us dubs really.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
we could
yeah.
see the big,
I know
the big tongue in cheek going on here about just being a dub, yeah. being a proper dub.
Say yeah. some,
yuppa. Do you know what I mean? Say some.
Me and him always say that to each other now. Say some. Yeah. That press guy. To be honest, for all his flaws, right?
Yeah.
For all his fucking flaws, I have to say I love him. And that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He's made mistakes.
Yeah.
He's made fucking mistakes, huge mistakes. Blah, 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 blah. You're talking about the most famous athlete in the world, in my opinion. In my opinion, he's actually handled fame well. If you compare it to people in the past, look at Tyson, look at other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's still holding shit together, still fighting. He still has a family. He still has hundreds of millions.
Big time.
Like, you don't understand, the fall down there is so far. He hasn't went anywhere near that, and I hope to God he never does. Because when I seen him starting off and he was kissing that tricolour, I seen he meant that.
Yeah.
And I felt at the time, you're talking 2013, 14, we're in the worst recession fucking ever. And it was something to be proud of.
Yeah.
And he gave us fucking pride.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're proud to be Irish, but when you're reminded with someone like him who's a modern fucking version of a Gaelic warrior, you do get pride in who you are, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he did represent this well. He made some fucking mistakes, but guess what? I made fucking mistakes.
Yeah.
And I tell you,
me too.
Everybody has. No one's fucking perfect. Going back to the McGregor-Poirier thing, I'm backing him, and I'm going to be straight up. I think
how
it's
do
half,
you think he wins?
I think it's half heart as well.
He fights different.
Well, I like.
He's going back to camp on his own. He's not.
Yeah. But also, I think how he wins
anymore.
Is
it's quite simple. He
remove the boxing style.
Yeah,
he had a boxing
bounce.
Wide foot stance, and the legs was kicked off him.
Yeah.
He needs to go back to old skippity doo bay.
He needs to go to karate.
McGregor. Yeah.
You know, he needs to go to karate. McGregor.
In and out. He needs to
the one where like the one your evasion goes up like +2 when you stand that way.
He needs to show those kicks to the stomach, all the front kicks, all that. He needs to go back to speed. Time he needs to go back to Bruce Lee McGregor, and the fact that he is going to do a whole camp without the family and deprive himself and all those things, that says a lot, because he still has the fucking hunger. And let's not forget, guys, that for a round and a half he was dominating the fight. He rocked Poirier, had him hurt. Could have easily. It was at one point there, one more punch from Kane Poirier out, and then we would have saying, look at McGregor, he KO'd Poirier in the first round. You know, I know it didn't go that way, and that's the way fighting is. But I think he'll rectify that thing with the legs and the calf kicks and that. He's not going to fall for that again. But again, I don't think Poirier is going to come out with that either. Poirier is going to come out with something different as well.
Yeah.
And it is half put my faith in him as well.
Yeah.
But I do. He is someone who has a very, very high fight IQ.
Yeah.
And he can see his mistakes. And we saw that with Nate Diaz and how he came back in the rematch and rectified that and took on what Rafael dos Anjos done to fucking Nate Diaz and got the win.
Yeah.
And I think there's going to be a similar sort of pattern there. So I'm obviously hoping, but I actually genuinely
believe. Can he knock him out is the question.
Yes.
I think he can.
But that's why I wanted to bring it up, because that's that, you know what I mean?
He's done it before.
He's done it before, but
she's Poirier, one of the biggest punchers in MMA history.
Poirier actually said that he hurt him.
Yeah.
To the point there where he couldn't probably take another one.
He did say that.
Right,
yeah.
And then words were out of his mouth, which means he can finish him.
Uh-huh. And spiteful McGregor's coming back. Gentleman
thing,
gym shit needs to go.
Well, here's the thing.
Go.
He can't dogfight with Poirier, because punch for punch, Poirier can finish him quicker there.
Mm-hmm. He needs to be able
to tactically move in and out
clean,
and bait Poirier into missing.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I mean, that's where his best walk is.
Yeah,
like, who is McGregor?
Like
McGregor is a counter striker.
Like, exactly. Yeah.
In boxing,
you call him a box puncher. Someone who goes forward, who's a big puncher, but counters going forward. Yeah. And that's what he is. And look at Aldo. What he done to Aldo is exactly that. Moving in, stepping back, bam.
Yeah.
Typical boxing shot. Over,
beautiful.
That's the kind of shit he needs.
Poetry in motion.
And angles. Angles knock people out. Not cut the straight all the time. It's on straight 1-2 basics. Angles. Change.
Well, Lydia, you're around fighting a long time, and I really don't know how it's going to go. I hope this new implemented, upgraded McGregor. I love how volatile MMA is.
Yeah.
I love that, like, the best guys can get beaten. That's what I love about the sport. I love that more than anything.
It's what made me such a lover of the sport now. When before, you know? I was only a McGregor fan. So now I love MMA.
I always just say I can make
beats boxing like.
I can make prediction. Yeah. Sorry.
Well, it's the where boxing is lacking in excitement is the fact that with
the best
MMA,
fighting the best,
the best fighting exactly. the best, and there's whatever you say about Dana White, you know, in the UFC,
I love him.
He's as real as they come, and he's like, you like fight each other, and if you don't fight each other, fuck off.
And do you know what you know what's brilliant about it? And Eddie Hearn has copied a lot off Dana White. He is so transparent. He's telling you really personal stuff that just happened on a background stuff, which traditionally boxing trainers would never tell you.
Yeah.
Traditionally, boxing trainers tell you nothing. In fact, they tell you the opposite of what's going on. That was always the rule. Mm. That level of transparency has never been seen in combat sports, and he brought it there. And Eddie Hearn has been doing the exact same thing. And people, and the boxing fans, the real boxing fans, love him because of it, because he's giving you all the background info.
Even everything that's going on at the moment with Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury and that fight getting made, you know, you have Frank Warren coming up. We're nowhere near close.
Shoulder roll, Frank.
We're nowhere near that fight being made, and then all the rest. And then Eddie's like, I don't know what he's talking about.
He's
I had a
jealous.
Meeting with him
he's
this morning, and you know what I mean.
He's
but it's
jealous,
that transparency is like
Frank
really
is old school. He's jealous, and he can't take.
I'm a fan of Uncle Frank.
I like him. Yeah,
I'm a fan. Yeah. You know, and I see where the kind of the mushroom Eddie Hearn fans come in, and they rip the piss a little bit because he is so like angsty when it comes to Matchroom and Eddie Hearn, and you can understand why he would be. And it's like, you know,
if you look at what he's done in the past couple of years, he's taken a page out of Eddie Hearn's book.
Yeah,
he's tried to revamp his image. It's clear, and he's trying to be a smile. He's tried to smile.
Yeah,
and he's trying to be more transparent because it's worked for Eddie. Because one of the things that worked for the UFC is Dana White becoming a celebrity, becoming someone that they want to hear as much as a hearing a fighter. That has been beneficial, and he has been a spearhead to the sport, an enigmatic sort of charismatic figure.
He was the blueprint to that position.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
So Eddie Hearn took a page out of his book, and Frank, seeing the success of Eddie and seeing the power in getting followers and becoming a celebrity as a promoter is a big, big fucking thing.
All right.
What did you think of the production value of the show?
Of which? Of Canelo?
Canelo. You can see what they're trying to do. The production is up.
First of all, 70,000 people, like post-corona,
but to see
like
what way
how good was that?
They just shot at how many camera angles there was.
Yeah.
Their performances, what way they were lighting up the entrances.
Copy the UFC again.
Exactly. Yeah. They're trying to up to the UFC's
the
production.
The Matchroom have a guy called, not Mason Jones, that's the MMA fighter. His name's Mason something, but he works for Matchroom Media, and he's this young kid who's been given a big opportunity, and he's just been let to just go let his creative juices flow, and he's getting all these slow-mo shots, like, you know, like the punches landing and the sweat coming out and the spit
this
coming out.
This boxing or UFC?
Yeah, and he works for Matchroom.
Oh, Matchroom. Like, Matchroom do UFC, right?
No, Matchroom is
Eddie boxing. It's Eddie Hearn.
Oh, boxing.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
But they've taken on that thing of like the UFC and Dana White and like having all this up close and personal shots, and you know, like even the corner audio, or video, and being able to hear the corners, especially with lockdown and stuff, and when they had all the fight camp shows where it was the first time without audiences, and you could hear the shots landing, you could hear the corners, like,
isn't it mad how sharp they're getting,
like,
with shit now? Like, Taylor making this experience for you. They're tuning into everything. What do the people need to hear that makes this more relatable, that brings them into this world?
Yeah.
The shots are hired up, you know. They have mics that pick up the slapping shots. You know what he's whispering in his ear in the corner.
Yeah.
You know what the hype is at home. You know he's not talking
to
his
there.
Girl right now.
Yeah.
So he's getting ready for this fight. It's like a fucking blatant EastEnders storyline by the time they fight. You know?
Yeah.
Well, they do have. They both have fucking narratives behind them. It's always picking up on a narrative and they run with a narrative. It's very clever, like.
Very clever.
It's like script writers are fucking writing them.
It is.
I'd love to be there for McGregor and Poirier. My God, I'd love it. I would love that so much. Not as much as I'd love to be there for Joshua.
Combat
Tyson
sports
Fury.
Is just
if you had to choose
right
one of the fights.
Fury Joshua, it's for the undisputed heavyweight title and you have an El Traveller there fighting. So yeah. But I want to be there for McGregor too. Like, it's close because McGregor's an Irishman, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Fury's half Irish, but the heavyweight as well. And it's just such a spectacle.
What's it going
to be? Only thing is I'm skeptical of where it is. That's the problem.
Yeah.
It's Saudi Arabia and its human rights violations. But in the last 2 to 3 years, it's changed dramatically in order to open up to the West. If it's the Dubai, if it's the Saudi Arabia that it was 3 years ago, I wouldn't even go. I'd boycott it like I boycott Israel. I signed that agreement to boycott Israel on the Arab agreement. But it has changed actually dramatically.
Yeah.
So for that, I would enter it now, but still skeptical of that kind of stuff. But they went where the money was.
Yeah.
75 million each guaranteed.
That's a shit guaranteed. Load of money, man.
And that's like, and the pay per view is going to be insane.
And already on what have they got in the bank?
And they're going to have it. They're going to have it on America, and it'll be on at American times for the pay, for the American pay per view audience. Yeah. So the money, who knows? And it's going to be $100 pay per view in America. Like
predictions.
Oh, and Tyson Fury give him an absolute boxing lesson.
Do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I said it from day one. Anthony, he's tailor-made. Anthony Joshua is a robot.
If Wilder couldn't do it, like Joshua isn't going to do it to Fury.
Well, you see, look at Wilder. The thing about Wilder is that compare Wilder and Joshua, right?
Yeah.
Joshua's probably more all-rounded, right? He's an absolute knockout artist, but not quite as much as Wilder. There's a difference between their punches, right? Joshua throws clubber shots, right? And sometimes they have a bit of velocity behind him as well, and in bunches, and usually after that he goes tired because he's a robot and too much muscle, right? And he's a very penetratable defence as well. His chin is mile up in the air, all these little technical things
he was back in the straight,
he makes a lot of mistakes for a fella at a such high level. However, he's a superhuman athlete.
Yeah,
that's why he's there. But if you can compare, Wilder had a better shot against Fury, and it's because of his speed. His speed is blinding, like it's bop, one of them out of the blue can hit you anywhere at any time, no matter how dangerous. Joshua does not have that speed. He has the power, of course. Not quite the power. He doesn't have the, I would call, the unconscious power Wilder had, would just put you unconscious. You know what I mean? Break a jaw. I don't think he has that. But he still can knock anybody out. But he doesn't have that level of speed and spontaneity that would penetrate a Fury defense, because you can't figure out Fury, and trying to box your way in is not going to work. He's not a good enough boxer. He's an all-rounder. He's becoming an all-rounder who's still a heavy hitter. And I think he's tailor-made, and I think he's still a bit chinny as well, but he is got a heart, but I think he's going to take an absolute boxing lesson and be stopped late. I think it's going to be a mother of all beatings, actually.
Isn't Fury just like, as well, he's a genetic wonder that a man that size can groove?
Move like that, yeah.
Groove. Well, not move.
Groove.
Groove.
Yeah.
He's a groover.
He's a groover.
He rolls up the shoulders, he gets down.
Yeah, it's like someone on yokes. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Now, to be honest, like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
100%
polar opposite to like Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua's just so robotic.
Classical. Do you know what about Tyson as well is that if you look at like his life, you know, from in his boxing career, with all the kind of railroads or derailing that he's had, and to be able to still compete at that level, you know what I mean? That's like, he's a freak in nature.
He's an anomaly.
He is, of course he is. He's an anomaly.
It, I think it's his mind. I think it's
fuck,
his mind.
His brain is one of his biggest weapons.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
And you can see, and there's interview to interview, there's a different Tyson Fury. There's the real depressed and fucking apathetic, I don't care about anything or anyone or belts or money or anything, and I might not never fight again, Tyson Fury. A day later, I'm the GOAT, I'm the greatest, I can't wait, I need all this money, I'm not going to fight, I'm Versace Army, blah, 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 blah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's bipolar. Like,
he's
bipolar.
A mad bastard, he is bipolar, isn't he? Like, so, like all of us.
I think all the greats are fucking somewhere mad, you know?
Yeah, psychotic behaviour.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, elite level athletes. I think people at the top of any game, maybe.
Yeah. I think so.
I think you're a little bit. There's something there, right?
Yeah, there is.
Oh, no, there absolutely
I'm
is.
I'm not offending you by saying that. Am I? It seems that I'm talking both of you.
I'm fucked in the head. I give up fucking sanity a long time ago.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we spoke about this before as well, that it takes that person to go to a certain part of their psyche or their soul or their brain.
But you see it in artists. We talk about it a lot.
Yeah.
You see these gears in artists. People
how do they present themselves in like everyday life to the people you meet that are like that? Like, how do you, you know, do you see any kind of character traits in them where you're like, you can tell that he's in that dark place?
That's what we do. That's what we do. But you know, that's part of who we are, is detecting these things as well, becoming so sensitive to people and stuff and helping them. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. Like,
you can just sense that.
I don't know how I'm trying to say what I'm trying to say.
It's their body language and
energy. Yeah, they're
80%
of
communication is body language.
You can see in their eyes that they're just or there's like, they're constantly on like a wheel.
Yeah, but they're not stimulating you either. Like, obviously this is all data recorded as well, in your own brain about this person. There's something going on.
Yeah.
And you can just like phase through and just like kind of sift that out of it as well. When you realize,
in relation to art, right? Because we're artists, so we'll talk about art and talk about excellence within art. There is an absolute correlation between pain, suffering, trauma, and great artists.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I would say it is impossible to create great art without having suffered an enormous amount of trauma in your life. That's what I would say. Or pain, or some sort of expression of where you're coming from and your identity and all that kind of stuff. I think you have to have that. And also, and or a sensitivity to other people's.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And their pain and hurt, I think that helps a lot as well. Do you know what I mean? That's, if you look at Demo, that's what he does. You do that as well, Teddy. That's your kind of thing as well, a sensitivity to your environment. Yeah.
Empathic.
Yeah, empathic, absolutely. Yeah, empathy is fucking empathy is fucking key for artistry anyway. It's not key for excellence, because another trait, like if you're a banker or work for a corporation, you can't, you have to be apathetic.
Yeah, but you become weird. You become weird though. You become weird as well because you're so sensitive. So therefore, things start, you know, you have to make selections about who you can be around, where you are, what's going on. You never set yourself up in a place where you're not comfortable anymore.
Yeah.
I think that comes with it as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
This whole journey, like, you know,
yeah.
you really need the reassurance that you are going to be in a place that's happy all the time.
Yeah, yeah,
for sure. Do you know what I mean?
But like, even like if you look at you, Teddy, growing up around Darndale and the kind of structure of Darndale and what you've seen, and as you get older, you're able to deconstruct the place and what it meant and the walls and the concrete. And the aspirations have gone beyond that. And at the same time, maintaining that identity and expressing exactly what that meant. Which was a key to Carver Gangs, is why we fucking used 10 of your songs.
Yeah.
Because you had that Darndale fucking DNA in you.
Mm.
And you were expressing that, which Darndale is known to be the most antisocial fucking housing estate in all of Ireland. And there is elements to that, but it's also a brilliant place for community. Mm. There's beautiful people in Darndale, and it's a real L to a clan kind of still culture existing there.
Yes, it is.
But there is a lot of violence and crime and all that as well.
We love Darndale. And it's absolutely. Part, it's a big part of our identity.
Yeah.
Big you know? Time.
That's why we are like wild and raw as well.
Yeah.
That's why.
Darndalian aliens.
Yeah, that's why. You know what I mean?
That's what we call ourselves, Darndalian aliens, yeah.
Do you give that to yourself?
No, that's what we, that's everybody what in Darndale, like a lot of people in Darndale would call themselves Darndalian aliens or get called up by other people in Coolock. Because we're like, Coolock's known as a rough spot, but Darndale's only a house estate within Coolock. It's not its own area. People think it's an area. It's not. It's a house estate within Coolock. But the rest of Coolock like to differentiate as if we're our own area, but we're actually still in Coolock. We're a house estate within Coolock, but you don't want even, and Coolock's rough, so that doesn't want an association with us. Like,
what is the most like Darndale trait or quality that you've taken and can put into like everyday life now, like that has kind of given you a little bit of an edge?
Fighting at the patch.
Where's the patch?
The patch's in the middle of Darndale where a lot of the chaos happens. A lot of fighting. A lot of fellas got knocked out there throughout the years by my hands.
He baptised a few people.
I genuinely baptised a lot of people at the patch.
John, Boom. Did you?
Yeah, so listen, that was just a part of my life, like street fighting. You fight, like, you know what I mean?
And listen, because I've never been, for all the fighting I do in the gym and all the fights I've had, I've never been in a street fight. I've never even slapped someone in like a schoolyard or anything. Like, I think I maybe quarreled twice.
You have to
in
Darndale, don't you?
I actually undertake or chokeslam somebody in the middle of Darndale before. And absolutely blew his back and his brains out of his head.
Oh, you tell me about that.
And blew his brains out of his head on the cobblestones.
For those of us who are not DDT and fucking lads.
A violent chokeslam. Yeah.
Like, my man.
What's the buzz? Like, you know, like, I can't even imagine. Like, what happens? Does someone ring you and be like, you're having a knock?
So
like,
I was a number of times. So let me pick one. Oh, yeah. Randomly. Okay. So I was walking through Darndale one night. It was about 19:20. And I had drank 16 cans of fucking Budweiser with my uncle. My uncle's name is Brother. And he's like, my number one uncle. I'm one of my best friends in the world. I love him the bits. Anyway, I'm coming back.
What's up, Big Chili?
Big Chili. We call him Big Chili.
What's up,
Big Chili? So we're,
what's happening, so Volcano Hole?
Chileaners. He loves his spicy food, and he's a great cook. Great cook. He's the best.
He's some arse on him.
The man is a legend. I'll be drinking with him tonight.
Imagine Conor McGregor's arse on Brother. Well, Brother's about 20 stone.
Imagine you'd fit 10 of McGregor's arses on Brother.
What's his name, Brother Chili?
Brother. Brother fucking Chili.
Yo, Brother Chili, are you listening? Are you listening, Brother Chili? What's wrong with you?
What's wrong with you? Brother Chili.
Shout out, Brother Chili.
He was a big joyrider in the 90s. The biggest joyrider ever.
Joyrider.
Yeah, the biggest, like the most, you know, fucking notorious joyrider in the north side ever in the history.
They used to call
him mad, like, but just, and it couldn't be caught.
They used to call him Michael Schoonacker.
Ha ha ha!
Big Chili! Chili in the house!
Yo, but this is not even a private joke. This is like he was absolutely notorious.
Like, notorious.
For 10 years.
Like
John's writing a film about Brooke.
Like, he won't mind you talking about it.
I've co-written a film with Dylan Stagno, another writer from Darndale, a fucking genius writer as well. And the whole inspiration of it was actually his tales growing up, listening to the tales of my uncle, brother. And he would just tell me stuff. I saw a lot of it first, actually, in first hand. And then he stopped because he had a kid and he had to grow up and whatever. And then you hear all these great stories about the 90s. So film's called Tiger, actually, set in the 90s, joyriding. And it's heavily influenced by him. Mm. It's not a biopic, but a lot of the stories and tales I know from him are in it, in the film. But he was known as the greatest joyrider ever.
He was such
Dublin,
a street
basically.
Legend.
Like a legend.
Legend.
Known in the whole of Ireland.
Excuse my ignorance here, but is joyriding like a...
A sport in Darndale.
Is it a sport kind of a thing?
Back in the 90s especially.
It was a sport.
He would do things like, for instance...
He was a celebrity.
He was
a celebrity joyrider.
Did they off the roads or anything?
Is
it in the field?
This is everywhere.
No. This is up and down your road and they burned the car in your man's
fields everywhere. But
what did you think this was?
He'd do competitions. He'd do competitions like who can rob the most cars in a night, and he'd rob like 7 or 8 cars in one night, and keep going back, bum 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 bum. You know what I mean?
He brings them back.
Yeah, back and joyride them, and then you burn them. You know what I mean?
Then you burn them in Darndale, and then do you remember the time I once
said, "Bring them back"?
Here's your keys.
What they used to rob?
Hotwired them. He could rob a car in 8 seconds. They timed the one time he robbed the car in 8 seconds of Fiesta. He robbed in 8 seconds one time.
Where did he learn how to do that?
Because his father, my grandfather, Lord of Mercy, he did cars for a living, so he brought cars to the scrapyard. So he would have 100 cars. So it turned out that the way he's brought up was the perfect way to bring up a joyrider. So when he was about 9, he started just hotwiring cars himself at 9. And then by 10, 11, he was pulling handbrakes and nose throws. So by the time he hit the streets at 14, probably his first car,
killer.
He robbed in the street. He was like fucking Michael Schumacher.
It was a killer. And he was a legend, though. He was a real, real street
legend. People still talk
legend.
About him today.
He's a street legend, Big shout out, brother Chili,
Everybody wanted to be him. I wanted to be him. All his nephews wanted to be him. Everyone wanted to be
him. This is a great insight to, growing up in Darndale as well. Because that's a big part of life that, we don't get down and talk about.
Yeah.
I'm so interested in this, and I'm wondering, if he was so good at it.
Yeah.
Or was it the speed? The speed of in the car.
It was the skill.
Like,
that's why
it was
support.
Where is the skill? Where is the skill? What? Like turning corners.
All right, here
taking
it is.
Corners, fucking nose throws, handbrakes, staying in absolute fluidity.
So, do you know gymnastics in the Olympics?
They show
your best flips, your best stuff.
Yeah.
You would get out onto
it's
a big tarmac and you would show off how many nose throws you could do in a row.
Are people on the road? Are people watching?
The whole of Coolock.
The whole Coolock is out.
What a buzz.
It's like a gladiator stadium.
And then there's one person going, "That's my car." Standing there in the crowd.
So listen. There's other stories I can't even tell you about some of the stuff. But he's
good.
There was a fella caught. There was a guard, right?
Yeah.
There was a guard that was after him, but the guard could
Sorry,
not.
Sorry, officer.
The guard could not get him. Couldn't get him in the car.
Rats.
He kept him on his feet. He kept him on a raid or whatever. Let's premise this with, he stopped very young, 20 years of age or 19, 20. It was all for years before that, right?
Yeah.
And he's a different man. He's his grandfather now. He's 20 years later or whatever, right? But there was this guard. And this guard, he was fucking determined to get him in the car.
Yeah.
And he wouldn't even get him unless he could get him in a car. He had to get him in a car. And he could fucking never get him. And after so many dozens of chases, dozens and dozens of chases, he finally pulls him up in a different car and it wasn't robbed, and he tried to get him anyway because he had to give in. And his name was, I'll give him a different first name.
Yeah.
His name was John Gray, Guard of John Gray, right?
Yeah.
So he gets out and pulls my uncle out and slaps the face off him and does all that and a few thumps and whatever. And the guard and John Gray is there with a load of people. And my uncle turned around and says, because he called him Garda Grey. He said, "John, I heard before you came to Coolock they called you Garda Black." As in you went grey over the stress of him. And that was the only way they could catch him. Could never catch him. So he was notorious for never being caught.
But that was a big part of the sport, Lydia. The big part of the sport was to flash the car until you attract the Garda.
I don't understand that.
So you joyride the car.
Yeah.
So basically, you've taken someone's car into an estate.
Yeah.
And you're going up and down a residential area, pulling the handbrake.
At night.
No, during the day.
Or night. Right? 24
so
hours a day, really.
Then, eventually, you could be flashing the car. You could be driving the car for 20 minutes. You could be driving the car for an hour and a half.
Yeah.
You could be driving the car for 5 minutes. Yeah. Eventually, the Garda show up.
Yeah.
Right?
And are they getting a tip off? Someone has rang and
no,
like,
it doesn't even matter. They come anyways, right? Okay. But the other part of the sport is the chase.
Yeah.
That's the chase. Yeah. Now
takes a certain character.
No, but that's what I'm saying. Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm trying to say.
But this fella, Butter would have done this completely just real quiet, unassuming fella. Like, he wasn't, like, very quiet in nature. And just that type of fella.
Yeah,
just,
yeah,
like,
yeah. This was a sport. Like, this is a sport.
Like, he was just a professional with a screwdriver.
It's like anything.
Do you know what I mean?
It's
like high level.
He's
like
Highlander.
Highlander.
He was Highlander.
He was
the,
like
of the joyriding.
He was like
world.
The Kamaru Usman of joyriding.
There can be only one. And thunder and strike the fucking yoke when he's getting chased by the guard. We were watching. Do you ever watch slap fighting championships?
Do
you ever watch it?
Just is this the thing where they put their hands?
No, where people just slap each other.
Yeah, you're across the table.
People just slap each other in the face.
Two. And they knock each other out.
Are you going to cover that as well?
I mean, I don't know.
I have to say, money into the last few days, and I love it because it's so stupid.
They're
all fatter than me, like, and they just fall backwards when they get a slap. They look defeated.
But you ever see? You need to watch it. It's called Slap Fighting Championships. If you put on the super heavyweight tournament, it's some laugh. But there's tactics in it, right? So you put a gum shield in so you don't break your teeth. You put cotton wool into your ear so they don't deafen you with the slap.
Yeah, to break
and
the
then
eardrum.
And then you can be felled. You can hit too high or low, which they get an extra slap.
And then if you flinch, they get an extra
but
slap.
You understand when you know more about it, you can actually watch it to see what happens.
Oh, it's compelling.
It's compelling. It's not just two people slapping each other now. They both have game plans.
Well, did you ever have a game of flinch with your brothers or
flinch and this, they're going one and say the second one two and you flinch, you get an extra slap. That's fucking deadly. And listen, in this game, two slaps will kill you. Two in a row will kill you. Like, you will be knocked out with
your face, be like a rash.
Like, you want to have some gin to take two of these in a row.
Stop,
like,
man.
These 350 pound
men
with big huge
slapping.
Bellies, big Guinness breweries.
I'm not like I don't know if I would cover it.
No,
it's compelling.
I don't know. I must tune back in. But we're coming towards the end. We're probably going overtime, are we?
We're an hour time.
Yeah. All right. Okay. We're coming to the end, but we'll keep a couple more minutes. Yeah. We special guests in here.
Special guests.
Thank you for having us.
No problem. Have you ever watched Lathway?
No.
Yeah, Lathway. I love Lathway. Yeah, Lathway. Yeah.
Like that.
Well, explain to John what it is.
So it's the art of eight limbs. Nine. So
I showed you this before. It's the Thai guys.
It's Muay Thai.
Remember,
with
I showed you Thai guys with headbutts. Remember, I showed you the fiends headbutt.
I love that.
Yeah.
I think headbutt should be allowed.
That's what I used to do
in the street, was headbutt.
Really, John?
Yeah, headbutt.
Where would you go to headbutt? Like sedan to the chest? Or are we
top
like...
Top of the nose. Top of the nose is the worst place. You just completely discombobulate them.
You used to call him the 27
tears
bus.
Tears run. The 27 bus head.
You had to pay up. You had to pay your fare.
Or you're getting a rabbit head.
Yeah, do you want to go to town, mate? Bang!
When you have a head my size, you need to use it, like.
John, he sent people to Temple Street, not Temple Street.
I've burned people really bad with my head, like. I've put people in hospital with my head.
Do you want to go
back
to
in the day?
Do you want to go to Temple Street? Talbot Street? Temple Street, pal! 120! Cha-ching! Swap!
And what?
You have a very large head, man. I'll give you that.
It's the biggest head ever.
It's a lovely head, but you have a big head.
Huge head, I love it. It carries a big brain.
It's like a lion's head.
Do you remember lion heads?
Yeah, lion heads, yeah. The Lion King, yeah. Sorry,
Mufasa.
Do you remember
we
watched Mufasa?
Listen, Lydia, I was traumatized. Me and Teddy got really drunk, drinking loads of whiskey, and we watched the fucking new Lion King, right? But Teddy's put it on. He said, "Well, we watched the Lion King." So I said, "Put on the Lion King, yeah."
Yeah.
So she's these dirty, innocent-looking bastards playing the fucking Lion King, the big digitalized, fucking disgusting.
Did you like that Lion King, Lydia? Did you like that Lion King?
What was I like, Teddy?
The new one.
The new one I watched for about 15 minutes and turned it off.
I said, oh, he's ruining my memory.
There's no expression in their faces when they're real.
It's the I was actually horrified.
Yeah, he said to me, "What's going on here, me dad? These great boys, look at the faces on the boys. I'm me dad, DJ." And he was taking, he was
melody drunk like
on
whiskey.
Some sort of fucking shamanic fit.
I felt like it was a fucking DMT trip or something. I said, "Am I actually fucking seeing this? They've ruined the Lion King. Where's Elton John?"
Can you?
Fucking hell. Some things should not be fucking repeated or remade.
Like, classic.
Fucking hell. Like, Lion King number one was a classic.
But what is it about the Lion King? Because all our generation...
The soundtrack.
Lion King is
soundtrack,
like...
Right?
And then...
And
just some great characters and all. You know what I mean? It had a real rhythm about it.
Yeah,
and the colour and all. And
yeah, like Jungle Book was like...
Yeah, Jungle Book.
Like Jungle Book had that soul as well.
Yeah, it did. Yeah, it did. Fucking brilliant.
I wanna be like you.
Baloo. Who was your favourite Jungle Book character?
Oh, that bleeding... That ape dude, bro. It was like... Hoobie gooby wobby woobie.
He was...
He was like a blues singer. Yeah, go
yeah,
way down. Boogity boogity. I got the blues. I got these bananas.
Like Muddy Waters.
Boogity boogity doo. And I was like, yeah, man, that's my bro.
I got you. And the monkey in Lion King was my favorite. The monkey in Lion King, the old wise fellow, Mufasa. It was a real wise, the real wise fellow.
Yeah, he was a red arse baboon, right?
Yeah. He's a lazy voice.
Hole on him.
What a great voice. But then
hole.
But then Alan Rickman played. Didn't Alan Rickman play
Scar.
That fucking evil fella?
Yes, yeah, Scar.
And he was a great. He scared the shit out of me as a child.
So good.
God of God.
What was? Did you have a Google there?
Rafiki. Yeah.
It's like Rakishi. Do you remember him in wrestling?
Shut him up. Shut him. Would you like to come across McGregor in a bad mood with a bottle of proper in his hand and a bag in his back pocket?
Oh, fair.
Shut him. In a house party then.
Imagine you were fighting McGregor and you were like... You know, going on about your bus fare and shit, and he was talking about you shit on that bus. What shit on that bus, Sandra Temple Street on that bus? Yeah.
Come here, what did we use the bit of Irish and all? What was it?
That's what that means, yeah? Is that what that means? You took a shit on the bus, yeah?
Yeah, that's what he said. That's literally what he said.
I was like, it didn't even mean
what
that.
What a legend. What a long quacking. Yes. And then doing on Doris, he said. Fuck me.
Brilliant. But that is... you would wonder how the rest of the world view that, wouldn't you?
It's like, fucking legendary. He'll never get
like,
it.
What the?
He'll think Love he's it. Having a mental health breakdown.
Totally.
I just said he's just being just fucking one of the lads.
Yeah, it was one of the lads.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, and when he went over to smash Khabib's head in over his mate, I said, you legend.
Yeah.
I said, you absolute legend being loyal to your mate.
But listen, not only legend being loyal to your mate, he actually brought the crew with him.
Yeah.
He rang the boys and said, jump on the jet.
So we do the same
thing.
We're going.
Fill the jet. Like X-Men, lad.
I filled a few vans now.
The fucking hovercraft coming down the bleeding door. 20 silhouettes coming out like that, yeah? With points of Guinness.
Points of Guinness. Sculling them before they went down. Smashing them Guinness out the head.
Oh, bleeding. Oh. What a crack.
I love it.
What a buzz. Right, what are we finish up on? What else? Think? I want more stories of bleeding Brother Chili in the around the crib.
It's great. I think by the time you get to this point of the podcast, you're only scratching the surface.
Yeah.
And it's always when you go back, it's like, you know, where that...
Scratching me arse.
No, but like, much to say, I'd love a way longer chat. Imagine where like a 4-hour fucking combo would go.
Like,
I need alcohol then if we don't.
Yeah,
like,
do you know what I mean? But that's
I need
what
smoking.
I mean.
Yeah.
Be able to sit here with a cigar and a fucking like. But that's where you're getting into legendary status.
Kind of monocle on you.
But it's the same, isn't it the same? It should be the same for you, Lydia. Right? So like you're acting on stage and stuff. Take your world warm to the character and stuff. And all of a sudden, but you know what I mean. Like you can become closer to exactly what's going on. I'm the same when I'm performing. My first few songs are a little bit. Like you jump into a podcast, it's like we're fucking looses now.
Yeah.
It's like when you fall in love and then you get to that experimental stage.
Yeah. and he squirts on you then and you realise his name is Joan Connors.
Yeah.
Imagine long hair on me.
Full circle. And that is what
imagine
you call
me with straightened out
full
hair.
Full circle.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Brilliant. Oh,
thanks for having us. Thanks so much for having us in.
No problem.
This felt real special just to have us here and
really
have a chat.
Is.
And just like,
I'm
you know.
So grateful to know the two of you.
I'm
like,
grateful
seriously.
To know you.
I know. You're taking the piss at me, but I'm
no,
actually.
No, I'm not.
Ain't us.
No, of course
well,
I'm not. Of course I'm grateful
I'm
to know
so,
you.
I'm so, so grateful.
You're fucking one of the best at what you do in this country. You're the best at what you do. And you're one of the soundest people in media. Which
definitely.
Is
we always
fucking
have your
hard
back.
For me
we
to
always
say because I hate
back,
the media.
You know we always mean? Have your back, no matter what.
And thank also, you. I love the way you put yourself out there in the way, and you do what might seem like unpopular opinions, and you stand by them. And you're, and I see you standing against this woke shit as well. We won't even go into that. But you, I see you doing things like that, and I go, fucking, I admire her because of her position and what she's doing. And fair play to you, like, because that takes courage to do that.
Yeah, but is it wise?
No.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm being
told. We don't always do what's good for us. Look at me, I'm fucking... No. I'm fucking Hitler, apparently.
At least he was honest,
right? Yeah. Oh, I'd be honest with you, like, you know? People think you're fucking Hitler if you just...
But
if you go against anything.
This is the thing, and it's what, like, I'm nowhere... like as vocal as you are when you're passionate about something like nothing at all, but I will stand by something that I feel is like how I feel. But
I've seen you
do you know what I mean, but so many people have come to me like behind the scenes and been like, you're gonna ruin your career and you're not gonna get you know, mainstream work and blah blah, and I just had to make that decision to say like, who am I, what am I doing here, and trust that the more I stay in true with myself and who I truly am, I don't have to worry about
absolutely.
That.
That's all
I'll
that matters.
You'll go where you're meant to go.
I'll be
you
protected,
understand that?
Exactly.
That's all that matters. You understand that?
Yeah.
You just embrace change and roll through the motions.
Why are you wearing cocaine glasses?
I'm. Was literally, you literally look like three blind mice over there in the blue corner with
what?
Your shades on.
What?
They're lovely. They're lovely Hugo Bosses I have on, by the way. Black tints. I just wore them out because
you
like,
go,
outside,
boss.
But I wouldn't mind. Like, do you ever get like outside, even if it's overcast, it's very bright.
Yeah.
Do you ever get that shit? I feel like a vampire in me later. You know, me later years. You know what I mean? Like it's like fucking daylight is too bright.
Jesus, tell you, man, you're going grey in the beard, man.
Yeah.
You're to live in Jesus.
Man, look at the belly on you.
My man.
But come here. Well, listen. Like, when are we going to see more stuff with the two views?
There's more stuff.
The Black
Hang
Wealth.
On.
The Black Wealth.
Well, oh, yeah, of course you were working the Black
but
Wealth.
But Teddy,
yes.
No, actually, Teddy is actually right now as we speak doing, so I came up with this idea to open up the film to Ave Maria, a synthy slightly classical version that morphs into a rap version. And it's going to be a really fucking powerful opener. So Teddy's going to do that. He's going to open up the film. And
amazing.
He's done another song already, and it's in the film right now, placed in the film with Damien Dempsey at probably the most crucial part of the film. So his two songs already in there.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Really, really good.
And this is a collab for life, me and Teddy. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
In many ways. Like, I
get great joy out of your friendship, I have to say.
Yeah.
We're legends.
Yeah. You really are.
Come here, did you ever see? This is the funniest shit ever. Like, it's not going to sound funny here now, but when we do it, we do have these conversations. This thing on Instagram Live where I'm talking to Teddy, but Teddy is Busco. Now Busco is Bosco's fucking hood rat brother.
Right.
And Teddy
Busco.
And Teddy uses his t-shirt Bosco and he's talking and it's so funny. And I'm there trying my best not to laugh because he's saying, yeah, right to his voice, Teddy.
John, I'm on the blueies, pal.
And I said, Bosco,
I
what are you doing?
Off the blueies.
I said, what are you on the blueies for, bro? We got you in the fucking rehab, bro. What's wrong with you? And then I was like, what about your girlfriend?
I'm out of my box.
Yeah, and he's
I'm out of my box lately.
And where's your girlfriend? And what would you say, Teddy?
I slapped the head in there. I had to do 2 years.
I said, you didn't, man.
I had to do 2 years in the joint, you know.
Are you serious, bro? You had to slap in the face of your woman, man. What are you baiting women for, man?
I got up there, she deserved it.
And he's looking for bags of coke on him, you know. It's the funniest shit ever.
It's something
Busco.
That we probably just do a YouTube series on in a couple of years. Busco. And he's a Northsider. That's like fucking, you know, RTE. And never, like, not even, it's meant to be his brother, but we'll do a different spin where RTE never walked out.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just started taking blue.
He wanted him to do a D4 accent, then he wouldn't. He was real. He kept it real. He's on the dole and all.
Busco.
Yeah, Busco. Oh, he's on the dole, yeah.
Good stuff.
We'll Busco. Always collab,
You have to drag him at a few sessions.
Good stuff. thank you so much. We're wrapping up.
Yeah. Wrapping up.
Unless you've got a little something for us.
Oh, yeah. So you have to.
Yeah.
Summer's launcher.
So yeah, all right, yeah, sound, yeah.
Can I video it? Because the last time, did I video it?
No, you didn't.
Am I allowed videos?
Of course you are.
Copyright control. Right.
Oh, ready? Hey, what about what about I play Summer Slanger for the first time ever?
Have you guys?
Yeah.
Yeah, play it.
So no, rap it. It's better, man.
Oh, do you reckon? Oh, yeah, rap it, maybe.
Yeah, right,
yeah,
okay,
have to
okay.
Remember.
You're not
John,
getting
John knows
that.
Best. John knows best.
You're not getting away with that, Ted.
No, it's not like, it's just like a poetic type of thing. Jesus, it's cool, man.
Just chill, man. Chill. You're not getting in the zone.
Get in the zone.
Do what I do, you know? Relax.
What do you do?
Just relax. Get in the zone.
Where do you get in the zone? Show.
Just chill. That's it.
Why? Do you breathe around?
No, slow everything right down.
Right.
That's it.
Right.
So, yeah.
Okay, no. Bring it in.
Woke up to a blue sky. With the board singing tunes in a tree very close by. The melodies were like heavenly lullabies. Closed eyes, I soaked in the lovely vibes. My, my, it's a beautiful day. You feel the difference when the weather isn't gloomy or grey. I'm on a mission to get lifted like I'm floating away. And I've been itching for a tipple, so today is the day. Hey, and I just got paid. Strolled through my old hood down memory lane. Where the car set ablaze, kids still jump and play. On the roof and the bonnet, some things never change. I'm a legend in the dale. I salute through my shades and I'm greeted with waves. The same names on the block from the cradle to the grave, blowing haze at that gaff, smoking J's, drinking trays. What's up? I told my mother that I love her. Hung up the blower, got a message from the brother. He's buttered up and greased for the session of the summer. And I'm chefing up a feast to feed our bellies with the hunger. What you cooking? Flip a couple quarter pound of burgers with the cheese melted on, loads of red sauce and onions. The lads reckon it's bleeding lovely, claim the best they've ever tasted in like 12 different countries.
Yeah.
Good food, good company. Plenty red wine in the scullery. Tonight we unwind, making memories, cherishing the moment under one eternal energy. A couple of sneaky halves to get the party started. A couple of freezing cans because I'm bleeding parching. Must have been feeling the heat, I'm whipping off the Gansey. Mission completed, got the cretins feeling ultra chancy. Like Downey Jr. said, you never go full retarded. Never say never, for I humbly accept the challenge. Grooving the banger, switching up angles till we're sweating buckets. Embracing the madness, the rocket has landed. It's the band of brothers, proper grafters, the modern Gaelic fathers. The same applies to all my people that I call my family. Hit up the garden, now we're gazing at amazing stars. Blow cigars, swirling Remy in a tumbler glass. Think of the past, the history class about our ancient lands. That gives perspective and fuels direction in the artist's hands. The grain of sands are fleeting fast when you're with the lads. A billion sit-ups smash my ass because they're bleeding gas. Finish the night with songs and ballads and get teary-eyed. Vivid lines are resurrected, watch the spirits rise. The roughest time produce some diamonds of the staunchest kind. Filled with pride that disconnected from the conscious mind. And woke up to a blue sky with the board singing tunes in a tree very close by. The melodies were like heavenly lullabies. Eyes open, I soaked in the lovely voice.
Yeah, that was fucking deadly, man. I got fucking goosebumps there and I'm sick of listening to you. Fucking deadly. The goat the Irish goat.
Yes.
That was fucking sick.
Thanks for asking me to do that. Cool.
That was
there were two verses
was,
out of it. Obviously, like with Chris Cav's production and stuff. Big shout out to Chris. Chris rang me today.
It's a brilliant production it has.
You killed that. You killed that right there.
Yeah,
you killed
you.
That.
The
right
sound
there.
Of it, the sound of it as well, the summer sound and all. When you hear the finished article, it's fucking incredible. That was amazing, man.
That thanks, like,
but
the Irish
hip hop artists are the modern day Patrick Cavan and Brendan Behan. That's what they are. It's not even they're following the hip hop tradition, but also our poetic literary tradition.
Yeah.
And this is why the Irish hip hop artists, if you look at them, they're among the best in the world lyrically.
Mm.
They're better than the mainstream America and all that. They're not going down that route, that lowest common denominator for fucking, you know, for vocabulary and IQ and all that. What the Irish are doing are great. You know, everybody else is doing that's really shitty shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like,
why don't you think that we, the Irish, get the they're not
we don't like our own accent. We have inferiority complex,
right?
Absolutely, we don't like the way that we hear. So I'm sure we were colonized. It's a post-colonial effect.
Yeah.
You see that in all countries with similar kind of effects. Like,
so
that's
explain
what
that to me, John. Toddler
so
talk that to me.
It's internalized hatred and shame of who we are and our own identity.
Oh.
Because our identity was repressed by the British and by the Catholic Church. And we're barely, we're not over that. We'll never be over that unless we resolve that trauma. And one of the things is we hate hearing who we are. We don't want to face who we are. Like, it's taken someone like Versatile to kind of break through to some sort of level.
Yeah, what's
and
up
he
versatile?
Did it with sort
yeah.
of an outrageous level of like hip hop and whatever. Mm-hmm. And I fucking loved him, actually.
Yeah.
Shout out to Casper Walsh.
That's what I want to talk about. He's in the new film, right?
Listen. See, Casper,
I'm not just saying this. I'm not just saying this.
Such a kid.
But if he wants to give up rapping tomorrow and get into acting, he'd be another Barry Keoghan. Like, he'd be a superstar.
Really?
Yeah, honestly. He's so good.
Well, you can see it in the music videos.
But I knew it immediately that he could act. I knew immediately.
What did you see in him?
I saw his screen presence. I saw his comfortability performing. Yeah. And then he just has this fucking mad, chaotic energy.
Yeah.
And he's so clever, as in, like, his acting IQ was so high, because he came to me and he was like, John, I have this idea that he's going to, you know, he's a lad around town, he's taking tablets and all, and he's selling up in the Collins Street and all, and he's kind of slurred speech. Do you think he's like that? And I said, he's exactly like that.
Well,
and he just played that character to a fucking T. Mm. Yeah. And he was hilarious. Like, I was breaking my bollocks laughing. But so authentic.
But not many people can. Need to be from the street. Need to be from the streets to be able to do that as well.
He's a sponge. That's why he's soaking up.
He's a real artist. And shout out to Dubzino, who I casted.
Yeah, what's up, Dubzino?
Dubzino was casted alongside Casper. Dubzino, one of Ireland's best rappers as well, who never acted in his life and who was like not as confident as Casper. I ring him up and I said, man, I want you to do this film. I know you can act. It's here present. And he's like, John, it's an amazing opportunity, bro. Jeez, I thought, like, what do you think I'm aiming for? You know, and he wasn't as confident in acting.
Mm.
He put a camera on the cunt fucking, the camera loves him, and he was brilliant. And again, very high natural, high acting IQ, very good human behavioural instincts. Mm. The two of them, I'm at the same, knocked it out of the fucking park.
No way.
Like, they didn't,
yep, lads.
We didn't need a second take with them. They were improvising. They were like fucking vets, the two of them. Like, I couldn't believe it. And they've added, both those characters have added so much new fucking layers to the film, and I'm so excited. We went more kind of a Lehane, Gamora, a prophet type of buzz, real energetic urban tale, and I can't wait for people to see both of them their acting aid debuts. I can't wait. Like,
wow. So exciting. When is it out?
It'll be in a festival for the end of the year, and I'd say by the time we get to cinema, it'll be next spring.
Wow, so it will be made by the end of this year.
It'll be locked in probably in about 6 weeks or something.
What?
Yeah, but
how do you do all of that in like 16
living the
time?
Edit, living the edit, living
what
the
does
edit.
That mean?
16
like,
hours a day edit.
Wow. Yeah. And then do you do it? And then more than likely, will you go back? Like, do you watch it from start to finish then, and see if it sits together?
Make the notes, send it around to a few people to trust as well. And we did a screen, and Teddy got to watch the screen, and then we revamped the whole thing, and just it's because he said there's three films. There's the shoot, the script, the shoot. And then the edit. And then in the edit, we morph into something different. And this has happened.
Wow.
So we've kind of went from a more energetic, dynamic energy now, which just accentuates the politics more, but they're less in your face, you know?
Yeah, amazing. I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, well, you'll be at the premiere of it. And I'd say we're actually... Do people know you're going away?
They do now, John. Your fucking mouth.
He's simply premiering in London. Hey, cut that bit out.
What? No, I'll keep it in. I don't care.
It should be premiering in London, so.
No way, really?
I'd say the biggest festival that is coming up first is Rain Dance, and we already got our film Endless Sunshine and the Cloud Day in Rain Dance, so we're part of the alumni, and that's a huge festival, so that'd be a great one. And London, like, England's already opened up, but it'll be completely opened up by then, like November, so it'll be great. So come down for the weekend.
I'm going to that.
Absolutely.
Am
of course
I?
You are.
Oh my god, I'll get invited to fancy stuff like that.
Yup. Come with us. Come with us. Enjoy the weekend with us. Yeah, of course.
I won't embarrass you.
No,
I'll
that's
be very
you
cool.
I'd be proud
I'd be
to have you.
I'd be Sean Knox.
I'd be proud to have you.
Shane, by the way, the Forest Exchange is invited. Yeah, it's not just Lydia.
Yes, you're invited too, brother.
If you can get your ass in the spot. If you can get your ass in the spot with Lydia,
there's a ticket there for you.
It's the exact same thing. Yeah?
You can sleep
on
the couch.
To know that, and we're men of award as well.
I'm sleeping on the floor, by the way.
We're men of award. We're men of award.
Yup. But no, I can't wait. But I don't think I ever told you. Do you know what was first? Love Hate was first for you, wasn't it? Before Cabaret Dances.
Yeah.
I watched you on Love Hate, and I was like, I think I want to be his friend. And here we are. I'm your friend, aren't I?
Yeah, of course you are. Always.
And then, like, me bro here. Yeah.
Smell of shite off.
Don't leave me hanging. Yeah. My bro. For shears.
I'm going to roll some rounds with you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to wipe your arse for free. I'll have a brown belt when I'm coming out. I'll have a brown belt by the time I finish rolling.
Your mother will listen to this.
Fuck me, ma, yeah?
Yeah.
Say something now. Say something. Show you in the bus, Colette.
Say that, Colette, darling. Oh, fucking hell. Listen, lads, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Go on, what were we going to say? We have to walk.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, I hadn't smoked hash in 10 years and I had a blow before I came in.
Yeah. I knew you would look funny. That's why you put the glasses on, you cunt.
That's why you're cheap on my mice.
You have two glassy eyes. Look at the glassy Darren Daly and alien eyes on you.
Yup, the hash, right?
Do you remember your man, Lydia, before we go?
Go on.
I forgot to tell you, in that fucking crack then that we ended up in Darren Daly, there was this young fella. And every fucking fag you'd smoke, he'd say to you, blow after you, bro. Blow after you, bro. Right? So we nicknamed him. We nicknamed him the original blow after you, bro. And he's been immortalized now. Blow after you, bro.
Yeah, big shout out to blow after you, bro.
The OG.
He's probably in Mountjoy now. You know.
I was just saying, he's still knocking.
He's listening, and he's listening by Spotify in Mountjoy, the training unit. He's asking someone for a blow after him. He's probably smoking gear now and say, "Dude, tin foil, blow after you, bro."
I actually have PS. What's it called? PTSD. What's it called when you're
PTSD?
Yeah, when I light a smoke, I always look down to my left to see if he's there.
Blow after you, bro.
Blow after you, bro.
Blow, we're going to blow after you.
My cheeks are going to...
Yeah. Where is he, boys? Let him out.
I can't talk.
Children's life.
You
have to end it now.
The children's life.
My children's life.
I swear to God, in the children's name.
Whoever took me old gas bottle,
would you bring it back to me?
Well, a curse of the death to Jesus, lads. You took me generator away from me.
Left me in the dark without a pot of steel.
Lads, thank you so much. If you've managed to stay with us for this time,
I'm sure you have.
I hope you've been laughing as much as I have. Thank you so much, both of you, John, Teddy. Thank you so much.
We'll be back down the line when we got a lot of boxes ticked and we can have other conversations. But listen, make us a double regular guest, I think.
I think so. You know, like, if it's every 50,
double card pound with cheese.
Every 30 shows, yeah, I'm a Derry Lee Dunker and he's like a bleeding fucking Frankenfurter.
I'm a gherkin.
Thank you so much. We'll leave it there.
Thank you very much.
Teddy Darling, John Connors for the First Exchange podcast. Good night. God bless.
God bless at the end. A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.